In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, you invite us into prayer. Tonight we hope and pray that the words of Scripture and the words of the great prayers of our church will help train us into a deeper awareness of you and help us in our practice of prayer. We pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, up to this point in our preparation, I feel I've been preparing the ground as best I can for our look at prayer. And tonight I see as the first reflection that directly now looks at our experience of prayer. Now I can only obviously present the best I can from study and my own life. It may not fit with you, of course, because we each have our unique journey to make. But there are certain wisdoms that come through the writings and the prayers that seem to be common to us all, at least in the early stages of prayer. So I feel confident that you'll relate to what I'm offering you tonight. I'll begin briefly, though I have presented you with a lot more for your own later joy and reflection, I hope, on the longing for God. I think if we had to find what is the essence of prayer, what's the main prayer that Christians have, I imagine everyone would say this, that it's actually longing. There's a lot of other feelings that come with it, a lot of other aspects to it, but longing seems to be at the heart of it for the obvious reasons that we are not yet seeing God face to face. We're not holding, we're not possessing. We're wanting, longing, desiring. Of course, we are touched by God. We've seen that, or we wouldn't long for it. But we're always longing for more because it's an infinite journey. And just here, I'll just pray with you some of the texts from the Psalms that say this simply. O Lord, all my longing is known to you. My sighing is not hidden from you. Another psalm. As the deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? And again, O God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there's no water. Isaiah says, my soul yearns for you in the night. My spirit within me earnestly seeks you. One could find 100 such passages in the Psalms and Prophets and Proverbs and all through the Old Testament. It's giving expression to something that's no stranger to any of us. This key prayer of longing. And when I think about it, of course it's the essence of prayer. If someone says to you, if they feel they don't love you very much, put it that way, but they want to love you, they long to love you, but they're not sure that they can, wouldn't you accept that as love? If someone wanted to love me, I think that'd be fine. I'd say, oh, that'll do me. Because they want to do it. So they're doing it. Wanting to love is what loving is. surely. So the longing and the desiring indicates of a gravity of grace drawing. Well, if we're drawn to God and God is doing the drawing and we want to respond, that's love. That is what we'll do. That is what prayer, I think, is primarily consists in. Just a very small selection of statements from three people that make this point. I'm going to first of all read you a lovely passage from Ignatius of Antioch. He was the bishop of Antioch in Syria. He died, tradition tells us, in 107 AD. He was taken during the when the emperor was Trajan. He was taken to Rome and thrown in the Colosseum, the newly built Trajan Flavian amphitheatre. We now call it the Colosseum because of the big colossus that was built near it. And on his way through, he wrote certain lovely letters to the different churches that he was going through and gives us a wonderful idea of Christian organization at the end of the first century, talking about the bishop and so on. And he wrote ahead to the community at Rome. He's now an old man. If he wrote this when he was younger, you'd wonder what was going wrong. But he lived his life. He lived a beautiful life, we're told, and he's an old man now. He's been taken off to be thrown to the lions in the Colosseum, and he can hardly wait to get there, and this is his prayer. He who died for us is all that I seek. He who rose again for us is my whole desire. Here is one who longs only to be God's. Do not delude him with the things of the earth. Suffer me to attain to light, pure and undefiled, for only when I'm come thither shall I be truly a man. Leave me to imitate the passion of my God. If any of you has God within himself, understand my longings, feel for me, because you will know the forces by which I am constrained. Here am I, yearning for death with all the passion of a lover. Earthly longings have been crucified. In me there's left no spark of desire for things of the earth, but only a murmur of living water that whispers within me, come, come to the Father. There's no pleasure for me in anything that perishes or in the delights of this life. My heart longs for the bread of God, the flesh of Jesus Christ. And for my drink, I crave that blood of his, which is undying love. Sometime around the year 600, the Bishop of Rome at that time, a wonderful man called Gregory the Great, history knows him as, and for some of you more particularly in the Anglican Communion, or any of you in the Catholic Communion who come from England, or in fact Ireland, it was under Gregory that he sent Augustine over to the Celtic Roman Britain community, and it's from there, as you know, that St. Patrick was born and went over to Ireland. So we're dealing with a reaching out to the very edges of the Roman Empire, and that was Gregory, among other things. And he, on the feast of St. Mary of Magdala, he preached this sermon, which is, the language of it is so modern, so human, let's say. And this is what he says. And you all know the story of Mary of Magdala coming to the tomb, and it's empty. She runs back to the apostles, and Peter and the beloved disciple, according to John's story, come running to the tomb, and they go in, and they too go home. But she doesn't go home. She stays behind, weeping. And, well, the rest of the story is known. But this is Pope Gregory picking up the feeling of that moment. Because of the ardent love of her heart, Mary continued seeking Jesus when she could not find him, even after the other disciples had gone away. So here's the longing. In tears she kept searching, and afire with love she yearned for him. Thus it happened that she alone saw him. She'd already sought and found nothing, but she continued seeking, and so found the object of her love. While she was seeking, her longing grew stronger and stronger, until it was allayed in the embrace of him whom she was seeking. At first she didn't recognize him, but then Jesus said to her, "Mary," as if to say, "Now recognize the one who recognizes you." Outwardly, it was he who was the object of her search. Inwardly, it was he who was teaching her to search for him. And finally, out of the millions of selections I could have made to stay within our tradition, I'm going back to the Archbishop of Canterbury, not long after the Norman invasion. A man called Anselm died in 1109. And in his beautiful book, I'm sure you'll love the language of this too, called the Proslogion, or the Colloquy, it's a prayer between Anselm and Jesus, we read this. Talking to his own soul, he is, "Abandon yourself for a little to God and rest for a little in him. Enter into the inner chamber of your soul. Shut out everything save God and what can be of help in your quest for him, and having locked the door, seek him out. Speak now, my whole heart. Speak now to God. I seek your face, O Lord, your face I seek. What shall this exile do, tormented by love of you and yet cast off from your face? I yearn to see you. I desire to come close to you. I long to find you. I'm eager to seek you out, but I do not see your face. Look upon us, Lord. Hear us. Enlighten us. Show yourself to us. Give yourself to us. Have pity on our efforts and our strivings towards you, for we can avail nothing without you. Teach me to seek you and reveal yourself to me as I seek, because I can neither seek you if you do not teach me how, nor find you unless you reveal yourself. Let me seek you in desiring you. Let me desire you in seeking you. Let me find you in loving you. Let me love you in finding you." We can't write any better than that.